their seats. I just wanted to just continue to encourage you from this past week and the elections, whatever side of the aisle, whoever you voted for, I want to encourage you to remain on mission and represent Jesus in the kingdom. Amen. So that's what we're called. We're going to continue to move forward. We're going to continue to love people. We're going to continue to be on mission. But as this time, we would like to recognize our veterans. If you've served in the military and you're a veteran, we invite you to just stand right where you are. If you could just stand as a veteran, just stand right where you are. We'd like to recognize you. Thank you. I want to pray a blessing over you guys and just thank you for your service. So right where you are, you just reach out to the closest veteran standing. That'd be great. So Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the freedoms that we have in this country, the ability to even right today to gather in this place, in this church, for this worship experience, to praise you in the freedoms that we have in this religious opportunity. It's more than that. It's our relationships. But I pray and thank you for each one of these veterans standing, that the way they've served in such a way, they've given their lives and they've given themselves and poured themselves out to for their country. Lord, they've poured out so much for who they are and for this country. Lord, I pray a blessing upon them. I pray that you bless them. I pray that they would continue to walk with favor and blessing upon them. I just pray, Lord, that that there would be a sense of pride in the most positive, godly way, Lord, for what they did. So I pray a blessing upon them. Thank you for the opportunity to gather in this place. So, Father, bless them now. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Give them a round of applause for their service. Thank you for your service. And there's no walk-up music. There's no bumper. This is our new sermon series. And we want to kind of be straightforward and just kind of get right into this. As we're on our new sermon series about biblical stewardship. And I know a lot of you are like, oh my goodness, how do you follow that up from from last time on Crush to this? Now listen, most pastors, believe it or not, do not like to talk about money. Most pastors don't like to, but we have to, because it's one of the most preached about things within the scriptures. It's one of the most, the biggest topics that Jesus himself preached upon in scripture. So we're going to be doing that. We're going to be spending some time on the word biblical stewardship in this sermon series on what it means to give and what that looks like. And I don't know what your personal view of finances would be or stewardship. I know growing up in a Christian family the way I did, I go to church. My mom would give me like a dollar or 50 cents or whatever, and I had to throw it in the offering plate. And that's when they had the old school like plates, you know, the old school plates. You ever grew up on the plates? Yeah. And you'd throw it in there and you try to make that sound. I want to make sure my mom heard it when it hit, you know. So that was like kind of like I would give what I had. That was my view of giving and stewardship. I would give what I had to the Lord when I had it. But that was kind of my kind of view of stewardship. I also grew up in the 80s and 90s where I saw televangelists gave the church a black eye, I believe, asking people and robbing people and taking from people. And it left a nasty connotation in society. I don't know if you agree with me or not, but that was what I experienced. That's what I saw. And a lot of people look at the church as a bunch of shysters, and all they want is your money. They're snake oil salesmen. And I had some experience with that. I had some family members that got caught up in that, and it made me sad because that was their view of the church. That's all the pastors wanted. When I went into ministry, received my calling, I had an aunt who said to me, "Why would you waste your life and go into ministry? All you're going to do is ask people for money." That's what she said to me. And I was like, no, I was called. I had this experience, and I was moved to give my life and change and all this other stuff. But that was her connotation. That was her perception. So I don't know what your perception of giving and stewardship and finances is, but I would say for the most part, there's a connotation within the greater church, Church Universal out there, that it's a negative connotation. My hope and prayer in this sermon series is that you wouldn't see it as a negative thing. My hope and prayer is that it would challenge you, it would encourage you, and it would inspire you to have a perspective shift that God we just sang about, who is so good, and all the things that Sam just prayed about, that as we think and worship and have a perspective of who God is, we wouldn't see it as like a drag or a duty thing that we have to do, but this is something that we get to do, that we get as an act of worship, and it's part of who we are, and it isn't just something that we're just kind of like forced to do, like cutting grass and taxes, amen? So giving and stewardship
in biblical stewardship, these are good things for us to have an understanding of. And so, I don't know when it was for you, but like I said, there's a connotation of when you're a kid, like you just give what you have. Some of you are like, I still do that. I get it. But like, we have this bend in our personalities, and I think we're always trying to look to get rich quick. We're looking for that scratch off. When I hit the lottery, I'll cut that big check to the church. But it's so much more to that. That my perspective shifted as a believer, as a human, as a man. When I was in seminary, I went through school, had some debt, things like that. Then I started going to seminary. I applied to seminary, Trinity School for Ministry in Ambridge. And Mel and I were praying about it. We felt called to seminary. I felt I was going to further my education. But the big thing is a husband and wife, you count the cost. You see if it's in the budget. And if it's in the budget, you make it happen. And you just kind of take that step of faith. Well, it wasn't in the budget. And so I said, what if I took one class? And she said, we can maybe handle one class. And I took that step of faith and stepped out. I sat down with the seminary professor, and he said, Ben, he asked me about, why I wanted to go to seminary, why I wanted to go into ministry at all. Like, who goes into ministry? That's a drag itself, right? And I told him, I was like, I feel called. I feel Jesus is calling me to at first be a youth pastor, but in this time, I really felt called to ministry. He asked me about my devotional life, how am I studying the Word of God, and I was like, well, I read a couple times a week. He was like, a couple times a week? He's like, you got to be every day. I'm like, okay, I got you. And he convicted me. And then he, afterwards, he said, hey, can I look at your finances? I was like, no, absolutely not, man. Like, you're getting a little too comfortable. But he was like, okay. And then he started challenging me about what my views of tithing, giving and tithing and offerings and generosity. And he really started to challenge me. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. And so when he started to challenge me and I started to look biblically, and I went through 4 years of college at Geneva, and I gave what I had, like I did, right? So many do. But he challenged my view of biblical stewardship, saying this, that everything that I have, everything that you have already belongs to God. And that we are the stewards or the asset managers of that. And so what I learned from this man is he challenged me. He said, Ben, if you take that step of faith, if you surrender all of areas of your life, not just your intellect, not just your time and all these other things, but if you surrender even your pocketbook, your checkbook, God will bless you even in that. Put him to the test and watch what he does. And I was like, okay, here we go with the televangelist stuff. Now it's in the academic setting. So I did that for a couple weeks, talked to Mel. Mel was like, I don't know, we'll see. But then I applied for a scholarship. So, okay, let's apply for the scholarship. Future Pastors of America scholarship. And I applied, and wouldn't you know it, I got the scholarship. So I took another step of faith, boom. And God's provision met me, and he provided all 3 years of seminary, paid in full, and challenged me. So yeah, praise the Lord. So I am not just getting up here and going through the motions. I'm speaking from someone with a story and a testimony as a witness of God's goodness. And I want to encourage you, I want to inspire you that you see biblical stewardship as an act of worship, not as a dutiful thing like cutting grass or taxes, And so for you this morning, I don't know what your view is. What is your view? How do you view your finances? Do you view as just something you keep to the vest? We had some prophetic words talking about control. Very, very timely. Very timely. And a lot of times what happens is, friends, is that we want to control. We want to keep close to the vest our money, our resources. And there's some fear and anxiety behind our money, isn't there? And so I want to encourage you today as we think about this new sermon series, Biblical Stewardship. Biblical stewardship is developing a mindset, a point of view, that everything comes from God, that he owns it. Everything that I have, everything that you have, everything that Trump has, everything that whoever has, it all belongs to God. And God gave it to us, it belongs to him, but he calls us to be that asset manager. Do you ever think of it that way? Some of you are shaking your head no, some of you are kind of slinking down. But that's what we're called to be, that everything that we have belongs to God already, but he's calling us to be the managers of that resource or that finance or that relationship, whatever that may be. So everything, so biblical stewardship is developing a mindset that everything comes from God, that we are the managers, not the owners. Ooh, that's a challenge. That we think that we own it, but it really, it's God. We're just the managers of that. And that one day, listen, one day we're going to meet our maker, that we have to give an account to God for what we did with our lives, what we did with the resources that he entrusted us. I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about the spiritual resources, the people resources, the human resources that he invested in us. What did we do with that while we were here? Did you sit on it? Did you do nothing with it? Did you squander it, or did you go all in? Did you just give all in to who Jesus is because of what he did on the cross, because of God's goodness? And that's what he calls us to do when it comes to stewardship. 1 Corinthians 4, Paul says this, 1 through 5. This is how one should regard us, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Say stewards. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human effort or human court, excuse me. In fact, I don't even judge myself. Verse 4, for if I am not aware of anything against myself, but I am not thereby acquitted, it is the Lord who judges me. Right? I mean, people can think what they want about me or my family or the giving, whatever, but ultimately what it comes down to is what it is between me and the Lord. Therefore, verse 5, therefore, pay attention, that's a good biblical word. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in the darkness, and he will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive his commendation from God. And so there's within us, right? When we're here on earth, so this time on earth is so brief, so short, that we have to give an account someday, but we're called to be these stewards. What are you doing, friends? Listen, look here. What are you doing with the life that God has given you? What are you doing with the people resources, the person sitting next to you, your kids, your grandkids, your nieces, your nephews, the stranger? What are you doing? Are you stewarding those relationships? How about this? How about the skills and abilities that he's given you? Are you stewarding those resources? Are you sitting on them? I'll get to it when, blah, blah, blah. God has given each one of you a gift and an ability that he wants you to use for his glory and your development. And he wants you to steward those things for his glory. And so what's in our heart this morning matters. How we respond to that question. Do we want to be good stewards for the Lord, or are we just kind of going to sit on it and just not do anything? I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to have control of my own life, or am I going to let God take control of that? So when we think about the word steward, maybe some of you are going to, like, those are the old waitresses on the airplanes, stewardess. That's not it. That's thank you for that laugh, by the way. I appreciate that. It's tough up here sometimes. A steward is this. A steward is a household manager. Steward is someone who's a guardian of the stuff. So you think about your house. You were the steward of your household. You were the steward of your things, your stuff, your car, things like that. So the biblical word, it's you're allotted to. You're given this proportionate measure from God, and he's saying you're the steward of that. So stewardship is the manager of an affairs of another as well. And so not only are you the manager of the stuff you have, you're the manager of the resources that you have and the relationships you have. And so some of us even take that responsibility lightly. I have a relationship with my wife and my daughter that I need to steward. I need to take that serious. I need to invest in them. I need to invest and pour into them so that they can become who they're called to be, and likewise, vice versa. So it's not just about finances. It's not just... it's relationships. It's your spiritual well-being. You know, what are you doing with that? You're the resources that God has given you. So ultimately, you are the operator. God is the owner. You are the operator. God is the owner. He owns it already. He's just calling you to help out and manage those resources that he's given you. So that one day, we're going to give an account for what we did with our lives, how we served him, how we loved people, how we loved the stranger, how we gave of ourselves in that area. And so stewardship, how about this? Stewardship defines the relationship that we have with the Father as owner and Lord. And so we think about our faith, how we look at our faith, the perspective shift is that we see ourselves as a steward is going to define our relationship with God. And that was the pivot moment for me. That was the light switch moment for me. Like, oh my goodness, it isn't just give when you can. It's all God's at the first place. And so everything that I have, all the relationships that you guys, one day as a pastor, I'm going to have to give an account for how I pastored this church, this campus pastor, right? I'm responsible for that. I have to give an account for that. Likewise, you are too. You're going to stand before God. I gave you this gift and ability. I gave you these precious kids, that knucklehead husband. How did you manage that relationship? Listen, so as we want to get sharp, that's why we come to church. That's why we develop ourselves. We want to develop into fully devoted followers of Christ, as our mission is. And so, like, you're going to hear more about it from Sam later, but we have a thing called Growth Track. Growth Track is a thing for you to develop and sharpen how to be an asset manager of the resources God has given you. I want to encourage you, if you haven't been to Growth Track, get to Growth Track on November 17th. But you're stewarding and sharpening your faith. You're stewarding and sharpening the resources, the gifts, abilities that God has given you. And I think of our Bridge City 101, Wayne and Chris. Like, over time, God has sharpened them. And they're just showing up, and they're being resource managers of that ability and that space back there and people. And they do an amazing job. They're just an example of what people do. You look around, you see the ushers are doing the same thing. Sam, time and time again as MC. So they're using those abilities that God has given them. A lot of times when we hear the words, this is kind of a church cliche. When you hear time, talent, and treasure, have you ever heard church people say that? Let's use your time, talent, and treasure. Okay, what's that mean? I don't have any treasure. I'm not a pirate. Anyway, so here's what we think. We think it's time or talent or treasure. We think, okay, I'll give you one of the three. I'm not giving you all three. Slow down, pastor, right? But it's not or, it's all. It's and. It's time and talent and treasure. It's all of those things. It's all that we have. And so often, because of the control and the fear and anxiety we have, we selectively maybe give one or two. Sometimes we give three. Or maybe even we don't give anything at all. But it's all, not or. It's and. It's all of those things wrapped up into one. And so when we think of that Christian cliche, what do people mean when you say time, talent, and treasure? Well, talents. Talents is pretty an easy one. That's a pretty easy one. 1 Peter 4:10 says this. Each of you should be up on the screen. I'll read you the verse. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. And so if it's playing the bass guitar or drumming or helping count money, whatever it is, whatever you do here, that's one example. But then there are other things that you do. Sly Williams, who invests in high school kids and helps prepare them for college, he's using his ability to relate to kids, but also his know-how of where they need to get to go. He's using that ability. So God has blessed him with the talent to do that. How about this? In Romans 12, 6 through 8, Paul writes, "We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of you. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve." Then serve. Thank you. Thank you for that laugh. "If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement." How much more do we need encouragement in these times? We don't need American Idol critics or news anchor commentators. We need encouraging people, Christians, loving people, right? "If it is giving, then give generously." Give generously. Don't hold back. Give everything. Give it generously. "If it is to lead, do it diligently. And if it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully." And so when we have these talents and that are given to us by God, we're called to do that, to use whatever we have and to use those abilities cheerfully. You know, you want to follow someone that you can see there's something different. Well, amazing message last week from Doug Shear, right? Amazing message. But he spoke from the heart, and God gave him that ability to not waste his pain, but to share it. And how many people did he bless last week, right? And so each of you, listen, each of you has a talent and an ability that was placed there, and God's thumbprint is upon you. And you're called to use it, not to sit on it. He wants you to use it. So there's some biblical definitions. How about time? Oh, my goodness, time. We are busier than we've ever been in history, right? Here's what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, 15 to 16. "Be careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Make the most of every opportunity. because the days are evil. We know that. We know that. And so we're called to live like the book of Proverbs, to live in the fear of the Lord, to walk in the ways of God, and to live as wise people. So we're called to be very careful. How we manage our time matters to God. Think about the time you have. Are you making or carving the margins in your schedule to give to God? Or are you just saying, I'll get around to it when, blank? Because here's the reality, and I know this after a move, living with my mother-in-law for so long, you know, and then moving again, getting set up, and Mel and I are still unpacking. Thank you to those who helped us move. But here's the thing, if we keep saying, I'll get around to it when, we're never going to get around to it. The excuses will keep piling up. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. And so here's the thing, we've got to make the time, we've got to make the effort. If we think about the goodness of God, if Jesus went to the cross and died for my sins, I can show up on time. I can click a respond on an email. Right? That's just the bare bottom. We can do more, but we're supposed to be managers of that time that's given to us, right? Psalm 90 says this, Psalm 90 verse 12, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. What does that mean to number our days? It means to be a steward in time management and to plan your days around. What are you giving your time to? What does your calendar look like? What does your schedule look like? Because what your schedule looks like says a lot about your relationship with God. If you're giving time to God, it's going to show. If you're giving your time to everything else but God, what good is that? What good is that, friends? And so God wants all of you. He wants all of you. He wants your talent. He wants your time. James 4:14, you do not know what tomorrow will bring. You do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? What a great question. What is your life? For you are a mist that happens for a little time and then vanishes, like a mist, just gone, like a vapor. We're here today, we're gone tomorrow. It's important how we manage ourselves, our time, who we're investing, who we're surrounding ourselves with. Who are you investing yourself in? Are you spending time with God? I want to challenge you and encourage you. If you're not spending time with God, getting into His Word, getting with His people on a regular basis, I want to challenge you, invest your time wisely. This is what God calls us to do. This is what He wants you to do. This is an invitation as well. I don't want you to hear just a to-do list here, but this is an invitation. This is an invitation to be a steward. Also this, here's that other word, treasure. Here's the treasure. Again, not a pirate's take, but it is a treasure is what we have, our resources. Luke 16, verse 11, if then you have been not faithful within the unrighteous wealth, who will trust you with true riches? If you've been unfaithful in the little, how can we trust you with much, right? And so God says, I want to entrust you. I want to be able to trust you to use what I'm giving you for my glory. What are you going to do with it? How about this, Matthew 6, 19 through 20. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where the thieves do not break in and steal. And so, a lot of times our stuff starts owning us, doesn't it? And Jesus says, I don't want you to do that. I want you to store up treasures in heaven. How do we do that? Well, we invest our time and talent and treasure in the things of God. We invest ourselves in people. We invest ourselves in a relationship with God. That's what that looks like for us. And if we're not doing that, we need to think, what is my life? What is my life about right now? When it comes down to it, your time, your talent, your treasure, it all belongs to God. And so your perspective shift is like, I'm not going to just keep back and I'm going to have fear and anxiety and I'm going to be in control. But it is God who's with you and says, I'm with you. I want you to surrender it to me. I want you to give to me. It all belongs to God. Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's. The earth, the whole earth and everything in it, the world and all its people belong to Him. So again, everything that we have, everything that we see around us, it belongs to the Lord. But there's so many people that don't see that. They think it's theirs. They become greedy. And the thing is that the sin condition, the human condition, prone to sin, Genesis 3, gives us this false perception of reality. The reality is that it all belongs to God. And the reality is we're called to be the asset managers of that stuff. Stewardship is lordship. Stewardship is lordship. What does that mean to have lordship? What's that all about? Lordship is this. In Romans 10:9-10, If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and that it is by openly declaring your faith that you will be saved. And when we're declaring that Jesus is Lord of all areas of my life, he's the Lord of my thought life, he's the Lord of my relationships, he's the Lord of my vocation, what I do for a living, he's also the Lord of my finances. And the tension is that we don't live like that. We sing and declare hallelujahs, but then we don't declare the Lordship. I know that's hard to hear. I'm guilty of it too. It is. It's tough. So friends, here's the great thing is that we're invited. We're invited to have this Lordship, this relationship with Jesus. That's what stewardship is. That's what biblical stewardship is. It's having this understanding that it all belongs to God. I get to manage that, and I'm trying to bring him honor and glory, and I'm going to give everything that I have. Are we giving everything that we have to the Lord? And then that's what we're called to do. Is he Lord over your family? Is he over your thoughts? Is he Lord over everything? He doesn't just want some of you. The Lord wants all of you. The Bible says that God is a jealous God. You know, he wants all of you. He wants every part of your being. Is Jesus the Lord of your money? Is he the Lord of your giving? Or are you just kind of holding back? And I want to encourage you again, invite you to think about your finances. Step out in faith like I did. I'm telling you, I was a knucklehead too. I thought, if I just gave a little bit when I can. But when I surrendered, I put God to the test when I filled out that application for that scholarship. Not only did that happen one time, I was crazy enough to go a second time to get a second degree. Guess what I did? Took that step of faith, filled it out. I got another scholarship. God continued to provide for me. He continued to provide for my family. It makes no sense. I don't know who paid for it. I know God did, but like there was somebody that was in that school that paid for me that stepped up and stepped in. So I just want to encourage you that when you see that, watch what God will do when you just take those steps of faith, bold proclamations. Watch what God will do, how he will bless you. You don't do it. Listen. You don't do it to get that stuff. You do it as a step of faith, and you do it as a way of worship. Tithing is not a lottery ticket, as some prosperity jokers will tell you. That's not what it's about. We tithe and give as a way to honor the Lord. That's why we do it. So lordship, stewardship is lordship. Lord over all. Lord over your money. There's a great illustration Pastor Rick shared with us on staff. He said that thunder can't produce lightning. Thunder can't produce lightning. God's grace is the lightning, and our giving is the thunder. Like that, right? Watch what the Lord will do. His grace is the lightning. Boom, it shoots down, and then our response to that. Watch what we do. Watch when we give. Watch what happens. Watch what the Lord will do. It's that thunder that reverberates and goes throughout. People are watching us, and so this testimony that you have, you can speak into that. I'm sure if I could just stop preaching, which some of you are like, let's wrap it up, Pastor. But if we stopped me preaching and just had testimony of what the Lord has done for you financially, we could go on through like 5, 6 o'clock at night. That I know there are stories over there in God's faithfulness and God's goodness. And so here's the thing. The Bible talks about money. There's over 2,500 scriptures in the Word of God. And Jesus spoke on it more than any other subject in his teaching on earth. And so it's important to talk about. It is kind of taboo, and it's kind of not friendly, and it's not the cool thing to talk about, but it's important for us to understand that we have a perspective, that we have to look at our finances through the lens of Scripture as a biblical steward, that it all belongs to him. So our mindsets, these mindsets that we go have direction. The mindsets we have about giving, the mindsets we have about stewardship, will control where we're going to go in our faith. They're going to control where we're going to go in these relationships. One of my favorite parables in all of Jesus' teachings. It was toward the end of his ministry in Matthew 25. It was the parable of the talents. How many of you ever heard of that? Some of you didn't raise your hand. Okay. But there's this teaching that Jesus had. There's this teaching that Jesus had that he's trying to tell this teaching. A parable was a lesson that's kind of like pointing through something, a direction, a response that he's trying to draw out of people. And in Matthew 25, he's trying to teach about there was three workers. They worked for a man, and they were each given a certain talent. A talent was a measure of money, this measure of money was given to them. They were given according to their ability. Some had the ability that they could handle a lot more, they could carry the weight. And then some were given little less because they couldn't carry the weight. And so Jesus was trying to show that there are two responses. There's a faithful response to biblical stewardship. And there's an unfaithful response to biblical stewardship. And so as he's teaching this, as he's pouring himself out to the masses, he's teaching them about what it means to be a servant. Are we a faithful servant or an unfaithful servant? It's that simple. And you watch these responses of how they lived, and you think about your own life, like, where do I line up? Where do I fall within this parable? And we all say, well, I'm the guy that got the most. I can handle the weight. But the reality is that we're mostly like the one that has the fear and the anxiety that's kind of crippled by things in our lives. So it was not proportioned, but it was it wasn't the proportion that he gave. It was this giving the moment that God was trying to pull out of this moment, that Jesus was trying to point to the third servant here, is this response of faithfulness to unfaithfulness. Look at Matthew 25, verse 14. It says, "For it will be like a man going on a journey who has called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To the one," remember, the guy who is the man going on a journey, he owns it all. He owns all of it. And so he's entrusting to his servants his property. In verse 15, "The one he gave 5 talents to another he gave 2, to another 1, and to each according to his own ability. Then he went away." And so again, that talent is that weight. It's a coin. It's a measurement. It's something of value, you know, that he gave each of them. The sum of money was regarded as equal to about 6,000 denarii, which was about 20 years of wages that they were earning right in that point. 20 years. Can you imagine that? That's quite the advancement on your salary, right? And so there was a lot here. And so he was saying, take this and see what you can do with it. So 20 years to earn that much. And so talents as life resources are time and abilities and money and authority. Think about that. I want you to, as we read this story verse by verse, this is what he's talking about. This is a spiritual matter. This isn't just about time, talent, and treasure. There's a spiritual issue of the heart. Will we respond in faithfulness? Will we respond as unfaithful and kind of fumbling the ball, if you will? Verse 16 through 18. Are we handling what God has given us? Verse 16 and 18. "He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded them, and he had 5 talents more, so he doubled it. So also he went away, the one who had 2 talents made 2 more, and he went away and received 1 talent and dug it into the ground and hid his master's money." So again, let me recap. The guy who had 5 doubled it and got 10. The guy who had 2 doubled it and made 4. The guy who had 1 buried it in the ground. Faithful versus unfaithful. And so God is, like, you think about your life, this parable, this teaching, all that God has entrusted you, all that God has given you, you think, what are you doing with those talents? Are you being faithful to what God has given you? Or are you burying that into the ground? That's a tough thing to wrestle with. But here's the thing, you're invited. God is inviting us to take what we have, all that we have, all that we give, and use it for his glory. And watch what he can do with it. He can double it. Verse 19 through 20. "Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he had received the 5 talents, came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you have delivered to me 5 talents. Here are 5 talents more.'" Can you imagine the pride and the excitement that he must have felt? Presenting that his master, the owner, "Hey, look what I did. I made you money. I made you money. I took the things that you gave me and I doubled it." That's how I want to respond with my life. I know that's how you want to respond too. But it takes some effort. It takes some discipline. It takes a surrendering. It takes a faithfulness, showing up. There's these things that happen. Verse 21 through 23. "His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant.'" Well done, good and faithful servant. Don't you want to hear that when you reach the end of your life? You want to hear the Lord look at you. Pick your chin up. Well done, good and faithful servant. After all the years of ministry, I want to hear that. He's going to look at me and say, "Ben, well done, good and faithful servant." As Melanie's husband,
I want him to say, well done, good and faithful servant, as the the dad to Luke and Emma. I want him to say the same thing, well done, good and faithful servant. Do you want that in your life? Because if you're not serious about it, you're just squandering it. You're squandering. God is inviting you to more. Verse 21, he said, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little, and I have set you over much, and enter into the joy of your master. In verse 22, he also went and had the 2 talents person come forward saying, master, you have delivered me 2 talents. Here I have made you 2 talents more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little, and you have been set over much. Enter in the joy of your master. Enter in the joy of your master. Think about that sentence, that little phrase, the joy of your master. When you're serving and giving yourself, do you look to see, I want to please the Lord? Do you seek to worship when you're giving? Do you seek to be in the joy of the master? When I was a kid, all that I ever wanted was like with my mom. Like I would look up from the field when I was playing football. I'd look up into the stands and I'd see her like ringing that cowbell. That's what they did back in the day. When they'd ring the cowbell to cheer you on. I would see her just cheering me on. And I just felt such pride. Like my mom is proud of me for what I'm doing. How much more does the Lord, we're going to get to one day stand before God and look at the joy of the master. Here's the thing. We have to be faithful now. We have to be faithful now what God has entrusted us. We have to be faithful now. The joy of the master. So the praise from the master, this promise of the future blessing, is that motivation enough for you this morning? To look for that joy of the master, for him to look upon you and say, well done, good and faithful servant. Thankful you for stepping forward and sharing that word on whatever today's date is. I'm drawing a blank. You're faithful. You had the courage to step forward, right? So God is like, looks at us and says, I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of who you are. The joy of the master. When we think about the first 2 servants in this story, they did their work promptly. They persevered. They pushed forth. They tried to kind of be creative and find ways to use what God has given them. They didn't make excuses. They just kept going, and they said, I'm going to double what this man has given me. They were on purpose and on mission. They were moving forward. They weren't burying it in the ground. They had a plan. Here's the other thing that these 2 guys had. They presented their gifts, and they gave a report and account to the master with pride in their heart, in the most positive sense of that word. Are we doing that as well? Like, you take those first 2 guys, they had unction. There was this purpose that they were living into. And I just wonder sometimes as we look at our finances and we look at the way we're treating people and the way we're living out our lives, are we being good resources of the things that God has given to us? God is saying, Father, it's time to step up. Today's the time for you to step up. Look at verse 24. He also had received the 1 talent from who had come forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid. And when I went and hid your talent in the ground, here's what you have is yours. This is yours. So what he did is he had a view of who the master was, and he was afraid. And I often wonder, when we think about our relationship with God, do you view God as that hard taskmaster, that hard owner, that someone that is just always ready to criticize you and look down on you? And the reality is that he is not. That's from the pits of hell. That's the enemy of souls wants you to believe that. He is a good father who loves you and blesses you and wants to give you good gifts and wants to see you succeed and wants you to move forward in your faith. That's who God is. That's who we sang about this morning. But this man in this parable, he was afraid. How many of us are living in our fears today? Don't raise your hand. We're living in fear and anxiety. We're crippled by it so much to the point where we're paralyzed to move forward and do anything. That I know you want to, but you're so afraid. Your control and grip on your life is crippling you from moving forward. And God says, I want you to surrender that. I want you to come to me. I want you to see me in that way. This mindset, this man had a mindset that he was afraid of God. He was afraid of who the Lord was. And so we too have that mindset of where we're afraid of God. that we view our gifts. I'm not good enough. Have you ever said that about yourself? I don't have what it takes. I'm not enough, blank. He was crippled by that. And so here's the thing. God wants to give us freedom from those thoughts and processes. That they've taken root in our heart, and he says, no more, no more. I sent my son Jesus to deal with that. Our view of self. I can't do it. You don't know what I've been through. And I don't. God does. But he wants you to use that pain so you can move forward in your faith and relationship with him. This man didn't think well of the master. He didn't work. He didn't even try. He buried it in the ground. He made excuses. How many times are we going to make excuses in our relationship and not take ownership? And God says, I want you to be faithful. Stop making excuses, loved one. Church, Brighton Heights, stop making excuses. Run to the Father. Use those talents and those time and the abilities he's given you and the treasure that he's given you for his glory. And watch what he'll do in your life. He'll do amazing things for his glory, but he wants you to move forward. But we have to surrender those fears, don't we? We've got to surrender them. We've got to give them up. We're going to give them up. We've got to give up those fears and say, Lord, I can't keep going like this. Verse 26. It says, but the master answered him, you wicked and slothful servant, you knew what I reap where I would not have sown and gathered, where I've scattered no seed. Then you have ought to have invested my money with the bankers. In my coming, I should have received what was mine with the own interest. So here's the thing. He was saying, these are the things that you should have done, and he didn't do that. God has given us his Bible, the Word of God, his Holy Spirit that was moving, that's moving. Continues to move. He corrects us and challenges us to walk in his ways. And so as he's speaking into this man, he's saying, this is what I've given you and you squandered it. I don't want to reach the end of my life and have squandered that. I want to hear a good and faithful servant. I know that's why you're here. And while you do what you do, you want to hear that same thing. I want to encourage you, do not bury it. Do not live in your fears, but walk in faith. Steward your lives biblically. As an act of worship, God is cheering you on. People here are cheering you on. I'm cheering you on. There's freedom that exists and victory over your fears and anxieties. And God wants you to be that steward over those resources he's given you. But it starts in your heart, and it starts with taking that step of faith for him. When I was in youth ministry, there was this time we went to this camp, and there was this real high, it was called a pamper pole. You had to climb up to this top. And you go around this like telephone pole, and you had to step on this pole. It was just a telephone pole, and you had to leap off and reach out for this swing and do it. And my knees were just knocking and shaking. And I couldn't back down because the students were looking at me. I had to act tough. And so I got up there, and I said, I'm not going to be fearful. I'm going to jump. I looked terrible. I looked like I was afraid, and I was okay with that. But I jumped out, and my students cheered me. As you step out and you jump out in the face of your fears, in the face of the enemy of your soul, God is cheering you on. He's there to catch you. He encourages you to keep going, keep moving in your faith, keep moving forward. Verse 28, so take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For everyone who has more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not even what he has been taken away, and cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness, in that place where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you ever been in a point in your relationship where you're saying, why did I do that? Why did I say that? Gnashing of teeth. Like, I think of that, like, I shouldn't have said that to my wife. I shouldn't have done that to that my friend. And you have this regret of what could have been and what should have been, but you didn't do it because you were afraid. I've been there. And God wants to deliver us from that. He wants to give us freedom to walk faithfully, to be stewards of the lives he's given to us. In our relationships, our vocation, and our finances. He wants us to give that to him, to give him complete control of that. And it just takes that not living in our fears, walking in our faith. So is Jesus is the Lord of your life this morning? Is he the Lord of your life? Is he the Lord of all area of your life? Or are you burying what God has given you into the ground? Are you living into your fears? and you just can't move forward. I want to encourage you. I want to invite you to stand right now. When it comes to like your finances, the next couple weeks, starting today, we just want to provide assistance to you when you think about your finances and budgeting. I don't know if you've ever heard of like Dave Ramsey class, Financial Peace University, but we have this personal budget assistance for you. Just start with your finances. Just start there. Start with your heart. Start with your finances. On November 7th through the 25th, the cost is free. You can hit that QR code. You can go back to the connection point. You hit this. There's forms back there. But this is an invitation. This is an invitation for you to say, Lord, I want to double what you've given to me. I want you to take my resources. I want to look at my life, and I'm going to step out in faith. We have people here that want to help you with your budget. They want to help you manage those resources. It already belongs to God, but he wants to help you give all that you have. So there's an opportunity for you. I encourage you and invite you after the worship experience to go back to the connection point and scan this QR code, sign up. There are different slots that you can sign up for. We just want to help you just in that area. That's one area we can get better in, that we can manage, be the asset manager of the things that God has given us. This is a great opportunity. I just want to encourage you to do it. This is a great opportunity to do that. So get signed up. But then here's the other thing, spiritually, we need to get right in our hearts. That maybe this morning, just heads bowed and eyes closed right now. Maybe right now that you're crippled by some type of a fear. That God has given you something and you're just sitting on it. You're making excuse after excuse, and he says, I want you to let go. I want you to stop taking control, and I want you to give me control of your life. If that's you, I just want you to just put your hand up forward and say, God, I want you to have control over every area of my life. If that's you, just raise your hand. Be bold. This is the moment. Be bold. God, take control of my life. Father, I pray a blessing upon those with their hands raised. Lord, that you know where they are, that there's fears gripping them and providing this resistance to them moving forward. So, Father, remove those things that hinder them. Give them freedom and victory over these things. I pray right now that they would get into their connection groups or have conversations with a loved one or a pastor, with me or with Doug or whomever, Lord, that they can help just have that conversation, that as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. So, Father, help them to let go. And just right now, if your hands are up, just kind of open your hand. Just release that, just as a symbolic gesture. Just open it up and let go. Just open and let go. God, we give you control of our lives. Hands down. Heads bowed and eyes closed. And if this is a first time or you're saying, I don't know this Jesus that you speak of, maybe this is a first time you want to make Jesus the forgiver of your past and leader in the future, and you'd like to say a prayer this morning, we have people that want to pray with you, but I want to pray with you right now. If that's you, just boldly, right where you are, put your hand up. We want to pray with you that Jesus could be the Lord of your life. And that's okay. And so, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for today. Lord, as we look at biblical stewardship, it isn't just about finances, but it's also about the condition of our heart and our relationships. So, Father, I pray for that area. I pray for the spiritual area, our relationship with you. Help us to give you control. Lord, I pray for the relationships that we have, the people you've placed in our lives. Help us to love them. Help us to forgive. Help us to be kind. Help us to be sharpening iron to that person. And Father, finally, our finances. Lord, I pray for that perspective shift, that we are biblical stewards because all that we have is already yours. You call us to be managers of that. So I pray a blessing upon my brothers and sisters. I pray that they be encouraged by this morning. I pray that your Holy Spirit would equip and encourage and direct their steps. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.